Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, maybe they didn't jump the shark after all. Maybe they didn't. A couple of weeks away from Money in the Bank. Will we get the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa? It sure looks that way, especially when you realize that the Oscars, the Undisputed, we got to get used to saying it like that. We could still call it the SmackDown Women's Championship, right? But Asuka's Undisputed Championship is being defended the night before Money in the Bank. Isn't the tag team titles between Pretty Deadly versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, isn't that happening on the SmackDown before Money in the Bank? So when you start thinking of the matches at Money in the Bank, this is starting to come together more of the format like Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, maybe only six matches. I don't think any of us are complaining. You know, it's nice to see a real, solid 2.5 to 3 hour show where you're so exhausted that you don't even want to talk about it after. But with Bianca Belair, a little bit more of that old NXT attitude coming out, maybe that match in 2 weeks doesn't end up the way that we think, and maybe they will do an impromptu three-way at Money in the Bank. Hell, they're in England anyway, so we will see. What'd you all think? I was going to talk about the Cowboy Shithead. Yeah, Cowboy Shit, more like Cowboy Shithead. Listen, one of the Young Bucks, I'll show you a little bit later, posted. Yeah, actually, no, I got to show it to you now, because I got shit to say today. And yeah, I might be a little bit more raw form than usual, but this is a year. This is a year of saying, you know, we told you so. I mean, I'm not alone here. A lot of you out there believed in what I said. A lot of you believed in what you felt about it. If it looks like a rat, if it looks like shit and it smells like shit and it tastes like shit, it's probably shit. And over the last year, what we speculated about the CM Punk Elite situation was pretty much spot on. And the funny thing about it is the news journalists not only lied to you up until the day that this ESPN interview came out, but they tried to cover up the lies with a claim that I'm going to share with you later. And this is why I don't lie. Because when you lie, especially those people that are in the position that they're in, they got to lie to cover up the previous lie and cover up the next lie. And sometimes you get so overwhelmed that you can't remember like what you said or what you didn't say, especially if you go back to it a couple of years later. You forget some of your lies. And they made a claim, which means that they're either lying to their paid customers or CM Punk was telling the truth. And I got to share this. You know, listen, I'm an old guy. I think you all realize that by now. I'm an old guy. One of the things growing up in the early days of social media, not even social media, internet, in the 90s, one of the things that we, look, if you go on Wayback Machine and type in wrestling-news.com and look at my website from 2000, because I have my website since 1999. If you go back to 2000 and look at the left side, you'll see, you know, a column about, you know, infamous fights, wrestler arrests, like, you know, all this, like, water cooler talk, all this tabloid stuff. And it used to be some of the more popular sections on the site. And you would talk about the infamous incident with Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson. You would talk about the infamous incident with Bruiser Brody and Lex Luger, which really wasn't a fight, but you know what I mean. You look at the last 30 years, more than that, 35 years. Let's go back to the mid-'80s, late-'80s. You go back 35 years. And you look at all the incidents that have gone down in the world of pro wrestling, even if you want to get a little bit more tough with the JBL Blue Meanie incident, JBL Joey Styles incident, Jericho Brock Lesnar incident. You know, these guys, shit happens. You move on. You're working for a company. You are worried about your spot. You want to do it. These motherfuckers dragged this shit on for a year. And right after the ESPN article came out, right after, Nick Jackson has to go on social media, show a picture of Hangman Page, and say, not only is he good at wrestling, but he's an even better human being. What are you, fucking 12? Mental reassurance. I know we all, you know, there's a lot of issues of mental health these days. This motherfucker's got to be coddled, fondled. I guarantee you, Hangman Page drinking beer on camera, acting like an alcoholic, you know, looking like Snake Bliskin from Escape from New York. All that. I think this motherfucker drinks from a sippy cup when nobody's around. You see the cowboy stuff, the way he dresses, and look, he fights for good causes. But to me, he's a great wrestler. He probably could kick my ass. WWE wouldn't go near this guy, I don't think. And I don't want to make this the shit on Hangman Page campaign. But there is a level of trust in the world of pro wrestling that you have to go with. And you have to, you know, give the benefit of the doubt, especially when it ain't your fucking company. When Hangman Page, a year ago, more than a year ago, thought that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana, yeah, that incident, forced Colt Cabana out of AEW and he was shoved to Ring of Honor. CM Punk, CM Punk said, I never did that. I never did that. What happens? It pops up on the media. Nick Houseman. Remember Nick Houseman? The original Ring of Honor press conference, WrestleMania weekend last year. Hey, there's rumors going around. There's reports. Instead of getting the fucking facts, instead of asking CM Punk, and trust me, Nick Houseman could have asked CM Punk, he could have asked Colt Cabana. Instead of asking the sources, hey, is this true? No, it's not true. All right. Ah, fuck, I don't have a story anymore. Instead, you go in a press conference, reports are going around. So this way, if it ends up being a lie, hey, I didn't break the story. I'm just trying to comment on the story. Instead of me asking the people involved, I asked Tony Khan, and Tony Khan has a lot to be blamed on this. Tony Khan is a billionaire. Tony Khan is a lifelong wrestling fan. Tony Khan cares about pro wrestling, but Tony Khan needs to either start stepping up and throwing the law down before the next two people within that company start fighting with each other. Or he's got to hire someone that tells this roster, knock this shit off. This shit will not be tolerated. If you are caught, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for this company. If you are caught giving bullshit to the media or giving them little crumbs to try to smear this person or smear this person, you're out or you're suspended. Period. No, instead... Oh, there's an ongoing investigation and... There's an ongoing investigation and I can't comment about it. Do you know who's this guy that did the ESPN article? Mark Raimondi. It's a good article. It's a great article. He interviewed CM Punk. We're going to get into it in a few minutes because what I did for all of you was I took a screenshot of everything, and I kind of like changed the photos around to kind of fit what's going on. But even Mark Raimondi, whatever his name is, he did something that I guarantee you a lot of you didn't even realize. You know what this guy did? He left the media out of his article. When he talks about the media scrum, a year ago, when CM Punk started lashing out, remember why CM Punk started lashing out? Because of the media and the bullshit that was being portrayed. And if you, when we get into this article in a few minutes, you will see that this all started in the spring of 2022. When the accusation was that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana out. That's where it all started. And this guy from ESPN, when he talked about CM Punk confronting the elite, saying they should be working at Target, that they have no business doing what they're doing, he didn't mention the media once. He didn't mention about the media building this snowball, having AEW fans brainwashed for months that CM Punk did this and CM Punk pulled the power card. CM Punk did this. He's an asshole. He's selfish. He's this. And finally, CM Punk gets the opportunity after the John Moxley stuff, after the Hangman Page stuff, after the shit being said to him in the ring, after more articles being put online making him look like he's the bad guy in the problem. He sees all the guilty suspects, not all of them. I want to make that clear. There's a lot of people in the wrestling media that are good. But he sees them all in the crowd, and they're all smiling, their yellow crooked teeth, you know, and they're all this and that. And CM Punk's like, these motherfuckers have the balls to do what they do online and sit in front of me? Fuck that. And the first person that asked the question is the person that brought up at the Ring of Honor media scrum months earlier, hey, is it true, blah, 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 blah. Instead of getting the answers, you put it out there, and all the D and C list wrestling websites, they all cut and paste it. They all cut it. Look at Wade Keller. Now you get an idea why I've never liked Wade Keller. In 30 years of following this shit online, and I'm going back to my hotline 28 years ago, you never heard me on my hotline back in the day. Wade Keller is reporting this. This motherfucker, the day before the ESPN article, I talked about it on Thursday's show. If you have not checked out my Collision preview show, you got to check it out. It's 1 hour long, but it's set up in a way that 6 months from now, it's going to be a lot of fun to go back to looking at that. Plus, to be honest with you, the way they hyped up the Rampage card, I mean, the way they hyped up the Collision card, it feels a lot like a Rampage. Miro's in action. No, man, give us fucking pay-per-view quality matches in the first episode. Give us fucking good Miro in action. What is he going to do? Fight Caleb Schmuck? And then someone else will come out and have a confrontation and probably a New Japaner. So go check that out. But he finally sees these guys. And he's like, these motherfuckers. And the first question, he's the guy. So he goes after him. And this guy from ESPN left out all of the anger that CM Punk had for the media. The greatest part about it was, in this article, he says that there was an outside investigation. It was a law firm, my friends. Didn't we say this 9 months ago, that there was no Inspector Gadget? Who bit who? Analyze the teeth. Hey, CM Punk, we need a bite mark. Hey, Kenny Omega, we need a bite mark. Ace Steel, we need a bite mark. Kevin Dunn, we need a bite mark. No. It was a law firm. Because Tony Khan legally didn't know what the fuck is going to come out of this. In casual passing, a law firm. Dave Scheer, who I used to criticize a lot, deserves a lot of credit. Even Mike Johnson to a certain extent, because they called that shit out too. Me, my noise is this. Only the people that believe in what I do and what I say here are the only ones that know. I usually don't tweet about it. I tweeted something yesterday because it just kind of really had to get it off my chest. But you see in the wrestling news world now, unless you tweet it first, you know, if something happens, you know, like nobody knows for the most part unless they tune into your shit. But Wade Keller, the day before this article comes out, paints the picture that CM Punk is going to say shit and shit's going to come out and it's, you know, it's damage control. Damage control. AEW in damage control. And I'm like, what the fuck did CM Punk say? And honestly, if you check out my Collision preview show on Thursday, I said this. I said, CM Punk is a multimillionaire with huge, big lawyers. I can't believe that CM Punk is going to legally put himself in that kind of situation after they just amended his contract, after money, you know, comes into play with Collision, after everything that went on. I just, CM Punk, you know, says what he feels, you know, and he doesn't hold back. He doesn't, he even said in the interview, I don't like saying no comment. But I said to even Thursday, I said, I just can't picture this guy with all his legal shit going on being that stupid and putting something out there. I think he learned his lesson from that podcast he did with Colt Cabana bashing WWE and the doctors. The article comes out. There's nothing controversial. I hate to use the term that I said with Kevin on Tuesday, nothing burger. It was enough. I mean, the interview is interesting, and we'll share it. But you realize now that for the last year, these journalists, remember this thumbnail? Remember this thumbnail? I originally did this thumbnail. And by the way, we'll talk about SmackDown, obviously. You know, definitely some good shit went down. And I got to show you some video of something with Karrion Kross and AJ Styles. Scared the shit out of me yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but I got to share it with you. I'll do that in a few moments. Remember this thumbnail? Journalistic kayfabe. Why report the actual story when you could be part of the story? We started out with the MJF stuff. Remember the airport, the MJF stuff? And then we talked about it 9 months ago with CM Punk. And literally up to the last day, the day before Collision, these motherfuckers are doing that very same thing. Why report the actual story when you could be part of it? So now a lot of these names will be in lore for years to come. Their names will be cemented. And in the meantime, they are hurting AEW more than you can imagine. Listen to the Dynamite reaction to the CM Punk return. Go check out Wednesday's Dynamite. Go look at that video of the crowd reacting. You think they suddenly, after a year later, just feel that, we don't like him anymore. He's too injury prone. Yeah, we don't like him. We don't want to see him back. We're not interested. No, these motherfuckers hurt that company, and they're trying to build it. And like I said, hopefully, you know, Rampage originally was supposed to bring back, attract back, welcome back the wrestlers who fell out of love of wrestling. Collision now is turning into the show that they hopefully could welcome back the fans that fell out of love with AEW. It's unbelievable. So we'll share that in a little bit. Before we get into SmackDown, and then we will get back to the CM Punk article, and then we out of here. Couple of quick plugs. Tomorrow night, obviously, 8:05 p.m., we got the sit-down episode. It'll be a regular wrestling episode, so Q&A, get your questions ready. It'll be tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. If you haven't checked it out already, Kevin and I did a probably 2 hour and 45 minute blockbuster this past Tuesday. It is on DonTony.com. We did that show, and that is on, and we talked about everything. We even gave a couple of predictions. That was pretty cool. And I'm happy to let you all know, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, let's make it official. Yes. Kevin and I will be back for Money in the Bank predictions. That'll be a week from this Tuesday. So you know where to go, DonTony.com. So let's talk briefly about SmackDown. Oh, one last thing. I have to do this at the beginning of the show. And look, these are not real covers. Wrestling Covers makes these. All right. Remember BJ Whipner got arrested, strangulation, burglary. Kevin and I talked about it a little bit on Tuesday, what, you know, the word going around is as far as, you know, the relationship problems and how he broke into his significant other's place. Well, tune in Tuesday to this past Tuesday's episode. But BJ Whipner is out, and one of his former compadres is in. Jimmy Jacobs has been brought in, and Jimmy Jacobs will be helping more with AEW Collision. And this is listen, Jimmy Jacobs is not why I'm posting this. I'll show you in a minute. But the reason why it is a big deal is because of what I said. You know, you have two traveling groups now, and you have to bring people in to do the Collision stuff. People, there's not a lot of people are going to be doing double duty. You know, some that need the money and want the money will do the double duty. But you have the Dynamite on one side of the country and you have Collision on the other side of the country. So Jimmy Jacobs will be helping a lot on the AEW Collision side. But the one that puts a smile on my face, this put a smile on my face. But, oh, no, that was an epic fail. This is not. Kevin Matthews. Wrestling Covers, you're that fucking lazy. What's that line that people like to say in social issues? Say his name! Say his name! I'm not trying to make light on it. I know it's very serious when people do that. You're that fucking lazy, you can't type his name. Kevin Matthews brought in to help mostly with AEW Collision as well. That puts a smile on my face. You know, I don't know the guy well, but, you know, he used to work all the USA Pro Wrestling shows. He's the motherfucker that you saw the video on VPW that he chair-bashed me, handcuffed me, made me bleed, hit me with a cannoli tray, cracked stuff over my head. You know, those growing up Don Tony wrestle crap videos, that's same Kevin Matthews. So, Kevin, best of luck to you, my friend. He was kicking it and killing it, I should say, doing wrestling promotion in Alaska. You know, from Jersey area, I believe. But very, very happy for him. Happy to see that they're bringing aboard people that are lifers as far as wrestling goes and smart people, too. So best of luck to him. Best of luck to him. Now, at the conclusion of Monday's Raw recap that we did, the Raw post-show, I posted this online, but I just wanted to put a reminder that Logan Paul is going to be on Raw this Monday. A lot of people believe that this is going to have implications on Money in the Bank. Some people are reporting that Logan Paul is going to be put in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I am not sure about that. To be honest with you, I know it would be interesting to see Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins for the championship, but personally, I'd rather see Logan Paul challenge Seth Rollins on Monday. Isn't it an open challenge? Have Logan Paul show up and issue the open challenge. That would be a fucking ratings. That would be of ratings interest, you know. And I know a lot of you are going to say, no. You advertise Logan Paul weeks in advance. You don't just throw a spur in a moment. I get you, and you're probably right. But I don't want to see Logan Paul in the Money in the Bank match. I want, you know, like either Damian Priest or LA Knight to get it. I mean, those guys are there week in and week out and week in and week out. And Logan Paul had his title moment. He had his match against Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, and the shit was fucking great. You know, all right, you know, yes, he is taking wrestling on, you know, like, you know, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams ever thought that Logan Paul would be able to wrestle as good as he does in such a short amount of time. And a lot of people behind the scenes, Drew Gulak comes to mind immediately, deserve a lot of credit for training him. But, you know, I think you know, he already had the match with Roman Reigns. I don't think I want to see him win a briefcase. Plus, if he's not on TV every week, what are we going to do? See him show up at a UFC event? Look, I got the briefcase. He's at a convention pushing his drink. Look, I got the briefcase. Look, I got the drinks inside the briefcase. Look, the contract is missing. Who has the... Rafael Iglesias, did you take the contract? Don't give me that shit. Give the briefcase to somebody who works every fucking week on TV that deserves it. So I don't think that that's what's going on. But SmackDown yesterday, the big draw was that Jey Uso, will he fall in line, everyone? I don't know. I just thought it was kind of like goofy. I mean, the way they wrote that, will he fall in line? What am I, like 11? Will Jey Uso fall in line? That's how they hyped it yesterday. Roman Reigns was going to appear. We were going to have the mixed tag. And again, I got to show you a clip. In fact, yeah, I'll show it to you in a couple of moments. Scared the shit out of me. And I don't know if any of you noticed it yesterday. No, it had nothing to do with Scarlett Slap and AJ Styles, but we had that match. This was interesting because I didn't see Hit Row. Hit Row, you weren't invited to the party. I could say something, but I'm not. Hit Row, yeah, they made an appearance yesterday and got involved in this. This was to determine the new number one contenders for the tag team championships. It's interesting because everybody beloves Zelina Vega. And listen, I'm not criticizing Zelina Vega in any way, shape, or form right now. I swear to you, I am a big fan of Zelina Vega, and I am happy that she's getting, as what a lot of people say, the flowers. She's getting the flowers that she deserves. But what is absent on social media yesterday, and let's be honest, everyone, think about it. I'm not exaggerating. What was absent yesterday was people trending, writing, the fuck could you have Io Sky lose to Zelina Vega? The fuck, Io Sky is one of the greatest wrestlers of today. You fucking have her job out to Zelina Vega? That was absent all over the net yesterday because Zelina Vega is extremely loved, extremely popular. A lot of people are petrified to say something like that because they would get everybody who is a big supporter of Zelina Vega, and you probably even get some women in the business that would back her up, and I would back her up too. But I found it funny because of these people online with the work rate, and we talked about it even earlier this week with Kevin. You know, I love great wrestling. And I even said it Thursday, I loved the match with MJF and Adam Cole going to a draw. Going to a draw was the right way to go because you didn't want MJF to get a loss. And at the same time, if Adam Cole loses, then he doesn't get another title shot. Why would you strap him like that? So the draw was a great decision. What gets annoying to me is the usual suspects that have to write online, this is fucking in capital letters, wrestling with emojis, and this is why you should, and just making it seem like they just came five times. Like, this is, instead of saying this is Wagyu, everybody. This is the Wagyu of wrestling. They analyze every little detail, 6.5 stars. And yet, Zelina Vega defeats Io Sky. I know there's antics, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they bitch about the win-loss thing. Remember Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho? Remember the reaction to that? It was absent yesterday because they are petrified to have the gang all gang up on them. And we had Charlotte Flair and the Grayson Waller effect. I don't know. But you know what? Props. Props to WWE for making the effort of having Jey Uso officially break away from the bloodline as well. Super kick Roman Reigns yesterday. Then both Usos super kick Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. We didn't have to wait an extra week or two to get that done. Yeah, listen, there's going to be weeks where shit's going to still be milked. You know, it's not suddenly full steam ahead. If you could get an extra week or two and keep that draw and keep that interest, yeah, you do it. But it gets to a point where things were being dragged out that didn't need to be dragged out. Yesterday, they did the right thing. Oh, and then, yeah, we had Santos Escobar versus LA Knight yesterday. Yeah, I know some people were a little annoyed at that, but let's talk about SmackDown very quickly. The opening match was a gauntlet match to determine the new number one contenders for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens' undisputed WWE Universal Championships. Not just SmackDown, but overall, which is a little bit strange because why would you only feature SmackDown wrestlers? Anyway, we had advertised the LWO, Pretty Deadly, Street Profits, Sheamus, and Ridge Holland, and the OC. All teams that you see on your screen that I just mentioned were all at ringside, and that was smart. That speeds up time. Instead of having every team having their entrance down the rampway, this saves time. And pretty much up until the final match and Hit Row, the format was almost the same. We start off with the Street Profits versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. And I'm a little bit surprised, man. Something's got to change with the Street Profits, and it's got to change very, very quickly. And I think that it will. Because very early on, we got great offense by the Street Profits, and Angelo Dawkins on a little bit of momentum. But unfortunately, Ridge Holland, he blocks the double underhook, tags in Sheamus, bro kick, 1, 2, 3. Just like that. The Street Profits are eliminated. The OC are next. And the same template. The OC having some pretty damn good offense early on. And what's happening is that Sheamus is trying to get the hot tag to Ridge Holland. Carl Anderson is tagged in the ring, and he prevents Sheamus from tagging Ridge Holland. Unfortunately, Sheamus still had enough left in him to hit another bro kick, because as Carl Anderson knocked Ridge Holland off of the corner apron, here comes Sheamus. He turns around, boom, eats a bro kick. 1, 2, 3. Just like that, the OC have been eliminated. Now we have Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. Don't ask me to spell it, especially early in the morning. They have pretty damn good offense early on. Double dives to the floor. Nice moonsault by Cruz del Toro. Unfortunately, Ridge Holland fights off both opponents. He hulks up. He hits a modified DDT onto Cruz del Toro. Oh, look, Ridge Holland gets a pin. Just like that, the LWO have been eliminated. So now we think it's down to Pretty Deadly, Sheamus and Ridge Holland, and here comes Hit Row's music. Hit Row. In case you didn't know, they were in this match. They come down. Sheamus hits Top Dollar with a quick bro kick, pins him, almost record time. Hit Row. They are done. So now Pretty Deadly come in. And by this time, you're probably saying now, okay, this is happening on SmackDown. So the chances of one of these teams actually winning gold is not happening. And I don't think you would want to have who with Butch, Pete Dunne in the Money in the Bank ladder match, having all three members with some bad momentum that weekend. So now you start thinking, ah, shit, Pretty Deadly's going to get it, which I'm not complaining because I am a big fan of Pretty Deadly. Anybody that tunes into the Wednesday shows that I do, way before they even way before the New Day came into NXT for a cup of coffee, I felt Pretty Deadly, main roster bound, going to fit like a glove on the main roster. I know they're annoying. I know their attire annoying. I know their antics are annoying. I know their music is annoying. But that's what's so good about them. They actually could work great in the ring. Plus, they sell. They sell. Yesterday, great back and forth match. We've seen these two teams fight before. So it's not like we haven't. So what you saw before is what you got. I think what everybody focused with yesterday is Sheamus has both members of Pretty Deadly on the apron, and he hits the 10 beats on both guys. And then Elton Prince falls to the floor. Kit Wilson is still on the apron, and Sheamus proceeds. He already hit 10. He proceeded to go all the way up to 30. 30 beats. Problem is, in my opinion, you just got your chest should be straighter than Kofi Kingston's. And I know Kofi's got a condition. I'm not trying to make fun of Kofi. But you should be in so much pain. Seriously. Almost immediately after they hit the Prince tags in, hits the Celtic cross, flies over the top, leg drop, pin, win. Both guys are in the ring celebrating. They're like, you just got hit 30 fucking times. And it just seemed like nothing. It's like nothing. What does Sheamus got to do? Maybe Sheamus needs to put, put spikes on his forearm and then do it. That'll be fun. I'm sure John Moxley would like it. Punch him in the head. So they're celebrating in the ring. And here comes Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens calming down a little bit briefly. He only took a half a stick this week, everybody. He only took a half a stick. So they're having a little bit of humor with it. And then Kevin Owens goes back to his antics. You know, I don't like the ring. I don't want to go out there and kick ass. So Sami Zayn pretty much says, look, we didn't think you would win, but you've overstayed your welcome. You're still in the ring. Leave the ring now. And they have a little bit of back and forth. And they taunt each other. And that match is going to be happening in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Roman Reigns is backstage with Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa. Oh, and by the way, I thought it was funny. Right at the beginning of the show, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, they're getting out of a limo. And Kayla Braxton is there. And she's, you know, trying to get the scoop about Jey Uso. And Roman Reigns looks at Paul Heyman. He's like, your girlfriend is here. That's funny shit because that's like something you would hear in my neighborhood over here. Like if you got like an annoying, like I'm not saying Kayla Braxton's annoying, but you got like an annoying woman that is always bothering someone, you know, whether it's, I don't know, anybody. And somebody will say, oh, your girlfriend's here. Yeah, and you use that as an excuse to get the fuck out of there. So, she don't have no answers. But later on SmackDown, they're in the back. Roman Reigns, because he didn't ask him in the limo, he's got to wait for a camera in front of him. He says, have you spoken with Jay? And Roman Reigns is not happy because Paul Heyman says, no. Roman Reigns says he's the tribal chief. So Jay should be reaching out to him. I mean, I love this storyline, but sometimes the way they talk, I feel like when I was 9 playing pretend in my yard, that I thought that like I owned a house and I had all these servants, and no, they weren't of minority descent. We just had stick figures and dolls, and you know, I that's what you say when you're 9. I'm the tribal chief. So Jay should be reaching out to you. And Paul Heyman looks nervously back at Solo Sikoa, hurries out. So he's got to go hunt down Jay. Io Sky takes on Zelina Vega. And I thought it was pretty cool. I did not know this. Zelina Vega and Io Sky, they trained together like 7 years ago. So, I thought it was pretty cool. She posted that online. They didn't have much of a good friendship yesterday at the beginning of the match. Zelina Vega wants a handshake. Io Sky slaps her. And they have a very quick, fun back and forth. And here comes Bayley with the distraction. She distracts the referee. Io Sky rolls up Zelina Vega, but the referee is still busy with Bayley. I know that doesn't sound appropriate, but the referee is still busy with Bailey, and Io Sky gets angry, and she's looking at Bailey. Hard to my heart. What did you do? You fuck up. Zelina Vega capitalizes, hits the 619, gets the quick pin, and after the match, after commercial, we see Bailey in the back with Io Sky, and she's upset. She's bitching. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not nitpicking here, but I thought this was stupid. Now we know who's going to be the final entrant in the Money in the Bank ladder match. It's going to be Shotzi. Because a few moments later, in the back, Bailey and Io Sky are there, and here comes Shotzi. And Bailey makes fun of Shotzi. You're not worthy, this and that, to be in Money in the Bank, and this and that. So Shotzi's like, how's about, Bailey, you face me for your money in a spot and Money in the Bank? And before Bailey could say anything, Io Sky looks at Shotzi and she go, she accept. So Shotzi's like, oh, goody, let me go to Adam Pearce. Now, again, I'm not trying to be a dick and I'm not trying to use things just to criticize, but I'm just thinking, like, with just half of a brain, if I'm in a creative meeting,
we're going to have Shotzi confront Bailey, Io Sky, and how did I see first the Money in the Bank ladder? I'm being Kevin Dunn. I didn't even put that. Bailey puts the spot on line for Shotzi. And then end up in no contest. So Adam Pearce puts Bailey and Shotzi in Money in the Bank. And that's how you feel their thought. What do you think about that?
And I guarantee you, somebody was like, I don't care about any of them. Just do it. Think about this. Shotzi challenges Bailey for a spot in Money in the Bank. Io Sky accepts for Bailey. I could just picture Shotzi in storyline going back to Adam Pearce. Hey, Adam, I challenged Bailey for her spot, and Io Sky said she a cap. And Adam Pearce like, oh, so look at that. I mean, come on. That's like dumb. And I think next week, I can't. Would they take Bailey out of the match? If they take Bailey out of the match, Bailey is going to get revenge on Io Sky and cost her the match. If Bailey gets taken out of that match, then Shotzi takes her place, and then there's still one person short. I have a feeling we're going to get some bullshit fallout next week, or maybe Bailey cheats to win. And then Adam Pearce comes out and admonishes Bailey and puts Shotzi in anyway. So I can't see Bailey being removed from that. I think people want to see Bailey in it. There is a little bit of a storyline with that as well, besides the Io Sky stuff. So we'll see if Teeth. And by the way, on Monday, yes, we will have some fun. WWE corporate website updated the photos of Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon. Kevin Dunn has had a bridge, the bridge. He got a bridge. So his teeth actually look pretty decent now. I'm telling you, like, now when he goes to the Beaver conventions, the barbecues, the singles clubs, the singles Beaver clubs, and he walks around and he's surrounded by Beavers, you know, in the past, they would look at him, they'd have a drink in hand, and they'd be like, now they look at him now like, ah, his teeth are normal. No wood for you. Go eat a banana somewhere else, you fuck. So anyway, Grayson Waller with the Grayson Waller effect. He's got Charlotte Flair out there. He's a little intimidated. He wants to do a woo. Charlotte Flair doesn't let him do a woo right away. And Grayson Waller's running down Charlotte's career. This is a different Oscar. Charlotte, will you become a 15-time champion? Charlotte says, 15, 16, whatever. If we're going to talk about numbers, I have Asuka's number. Then Bianca Belair's music hits. Earlier, Bianca Belair is with Adam Pearce. She wants to know, girl, what's going on in my rematch? Adam Pearce. And that's based on that cell phone commercial, everyone. I don't want some asshole say like, oh, why are you trying to imitate it? Adam Pearce says, look, I'm giving you my word. I'm working. Think about this story. I just realized it. Think about this. Adam Pearce is telling Bianca Belair, look, you have my word. You're going to get your title shot. I'm working on it. And I could just, they should have put the segment side by side. They should have had a knock on the door and Shotzi walk in and says, hey, Io Sky just put Bayley's Money in the Bank spot on the line against me next week. Book it. So Adam Pearce, it takes 3 weeks for him to figure it out with Bianca Belair. So anyway, Bianca Belair is being told to relax by Adam Pearce. Maybe a little bit of a shot to Johnny Ace back then. Hey, relax. You know we told you we were going to give you some titles, but relax. It ain't happening right now. Relax. Or we're going to give you a title defense. Relax. Bianca Belair says, right or wrong, she's going to have it her way, and she walks off. Adam Pearce looks concerned. So, we go back to the Grayson Waller deal, and he's talking to Charlotte Flair, and Charlotte Flair says she's got Asuka's number. Bianca Belair comes out there. She gives props to Bianca, to Charlotte Flair for her accolades, but she's a little confused how Charlotte Flair gets a title shot before her rematch. And Charlotte Flair says, yeah, I did come back and I did call my shot, but I won't apologize. And by the way, I never got my rematch against Rhea Ripley. And I'm like, ooh, touche. So the comeback that they did creatively for Bianca Belair was, well, when you lost your championship, you disappeared. You left. I did the right thing and I stayed. Therefore, I deserve the shot and not you. Charlotte Flair is like, I didn't step away. I didn't walk away. I didn't run away. I stepped away. I'm a champion. Whether I have the title or I don't have the title. Bianca, what about you? Are you a champion without the title? And I love the line. And that's obviously a line fed, but it did make Bianca Belair look weak. Because immediately after that, Bianca Belair is saying that no matter who wins on June 30th, she's going to face off with the winner and call her own shot. And that's fine to say, but not right after when Charlotte Flair says, are you a champion without a title? And it kind of gave the perception that Bianca needs a title. You know, if I was Bianca, I would have been like, you know, I don't need shit. You know, she don't have to say it like that, but I don't need a title. I wasn't very fond of the segment. But Bianca Belair obviously will get involved in that match. I just hope they don't do something stupid where Charlotte Flair pushes Io Sky into Bayley, Bianca Belair, who happens to be sitting at ringside, and then Bianca Belair gets involved and it ends up getting thrown out, and Anna Pierce turns it into a three-way, maybe not a Money in the Bank, but maybe on a upcoming SmackDown afterwards. Paul Heyman approaches Jey Uso. He finds him. And Paul Heyman apologizes for all the recent happenings. And he says to Jey Uso, your brother intentionally kicked you last week. Don't think anything otherwise. Your brother intentionally kicked you. Just like he intentionally kicked Roman Reigns, he intentionally kicked you. He is very jealous. You don't deserve all this. But he apologizes for all the recent stuff. And Jey Uso says, I apologize too. Because if I'm in, you're out. And Paul Heyman is not very happy. So, a few moments later, I know we had the Cross AJ match, but let's just get this out of the way. A few moments later, Paul Heyman comes back with Roman Reigns, and Roman is like, so what happened? And Paul Heyman doesn't say anything. And Roman Reigns goes to talk to Solo, and Paul Heyman, scared shit, he's going to shit his pants. He runs off. So Solo Sikoa looks at Roman Reigns, says, you want me to take care of this, tribal chief? And Roman Reigns is laughing. He's like, everybody keeps calling me tribal chief like I'm 9 years old. No, he was laughing because he's like, relax, relax. We got the whole night ahead of us. We still got time. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of things. So now we get the mixed tag, and that is Karrion Kross and Scarlett defeating AJ Styles and Meechan. I think the match was, what, 3 or 4 minutes? It did not go long. It was fun while it lasted. You know, Scarlett looked fine doing, you know, what she was doing, me and him. You know, the thing again, and like I said, you know, people that are reporting that intergender matches are coming soon, that they're going to do it. Yesterday, again, the women have to fight the women, the men fight the men. But Meechan could nail a move on Karrion Kross. It's okay. And we did get that. And we even got a little bit with Scarlett towards AJ Styles. But if a guy, ain't happening. During the match, AJ Styles hits the Styles Clash on Karrion Kross. And it scared the shit out of me. Because if you know, it's been rare and it hasn't happened in a very long time. And if you understand the Styles Clash, when you're taking it, what you have to do with your neck, you got to tuck it in. And the injuries, I don't remember who got injured seriously from it, but it started to look like AJ Styles was reckless with the Styles Clash, and he's not. But back then, even I accused of that. And you would see back that a lot of the wrestlers were turning their head the wrong way. And when the impact would hit the mat, they break their neck. Karrion Kross is a big dude, man. I mean, I know he's a friend of the family here, but he's a big motherfucker. Whether he was a friend of the family or if he despised the family, he's big. And when AJ Styles pulled him up, I'm going to show you the move in regular speed. Then I'm going to show it to you in slow motion. And when you look at it in slow motion, you're like, ooh, that was, to me, that was a little scary. All right, look at your screen and just pay attention to Kross's head. Just pay attention to Kross's head. Boom, right there. Right there. Now, I'm going to show it to you in slow motion. And for those on audio only, do not worry. I will describe it. AJ Styles picks up Karrion Kross for the Styles Clash. Now, at this point, I thought Scarlett was going to, like, try to rake AJ's eyes. But instead, she backs off. Now, Styles is setting up Kross for the Styles Clash. And you can see Kross has his hand underneath his head, you know, just for clearance. And AJ puts his leg. Now, it's not this one. See that? I saw that and I'm like, oh, God. It looked like he was too low to take the Styles Clash. And then it goes up and he hits it. But if you go back to that again, that spot, let me see if I could get back to that spot again. You go over here. I'll show it to you one more time. Just watch his head. Now, again, Scarlett, why are you going backwards? You know, but look, he sets up, and yeah, Kross is pushing off to make sure that there's the height. He puts the leg, and there his head is down, but it's not that bad. But watch right over here, right there. That scares the shit out of me. I'm telling you, that looks scary. But luckily, if you look, some people may even think that his head bounced off the mat a little bit. Yeah, I personally think, you know, and listen, I'm not, no criticism against AJ Styles whatsoever here, but bigger guys, especially when you're getting up there in age, you know, you do lose a little strength, you do lose a little bit. I mean, it's just Mother Nature, but yeah, that kind of scared me yesterday. And I was shocked on nobody online talked about it. There's no replay. There's nobody talking about it online. But what ends up happening is AJ hits the Styles Clash, and AJ goes for the pin. Scarlett breaks it up. And Scarlett, you know, she's playing with AJ's hair, and she's acting kind of like she's hitting on him. AJ pulls his glove off, and I thought this was funny. AJ pulls his glove off, and he goes, this is not a middle finger. Here. I'm married, bitch. Now, if I was Scarlett, I would have said, yeah, I'm married too. You know? I mean, it was kind of funny because AJ's like, I'm married, bitch. And I was like, yeah, it's, so are they. I mean, it hasn't stopped some people out there in storyline. So, with Scarlett distracting AJ Styles, being him, pulls Scarlett to the floor, and Cross comes from behind, locks the cross jacket onto AJ Styles. Doesn't get him with that. Now you're thinking, uh-oh, you know, maybe AJ is going to pull this out, but no. Karrion Kross hits the cross hammer and then a slam and beats him. I think they are tinkering with Kross's finisher a little bit, which is fine with me. But Karrion Kross and Scarlett get the quick win yesterday. Caleb Braxton is in the back with Cameron Grimes. People want to criticize the use of some people brought up to NXT. Do you realize how many weeks Karrion Crimes. That's almost like a bootleg video game. Like, instead of putting, like, Cameron Grimes in a video game or Karrion Kross, Karrion Crimes. Cameron Grimes is in the back with Caleb Braxton. He's still excited to be there with his hairy chest now. Yeah, I'm having a good time. And Baron Corbin beats the fuck out of him. So next week, we're going to get Baron Corbin versus Cameron Grimes. Rey Mysterio hits the ring. Rey Mysterio is happy. He's proud of a lot in his career, but especially proud that he brought back the LWO. I'm not going to lie to you. He said that the person I'm about to introduce is the essence of Latino World Order. But then he said, can be Mr. Money in the Bank. I thought he was going to bring out Carlito because there's all the rumors of Carlito returning. But he says, you know, I'm going to bring out the next Mr. Money in the Bank. And he brings out Santos Escobar. And I will say this, props to WWE for removing that aura that the LWO is just the loser world order. They lost like their first 15 matches. Every time the LWO was doing so, I think Zelina Vega had a better record than Santos Escobar at some point on the main roster. They have removed that, and you could see Santos is connecting with the crowd. And yes, with the help of Rey and the LWO, but Santos, you know, talks about his love for Rey, that Rey inspires him, that he fights for Rey, he fights for Familia, he fights for everybody who in the WWE Universe who has a dream. And here comes LA Knight, big pop. LA Knight hits the ring. Before anything, he lays out Rey Mysterio. Now, a lot of people online were like, why did he lay out Rey Mysterio? Didn't they do something a while back where LA Knight in the back, Rey was signing autographs, and LA Knight is like, you know, if you're not going to beat up your son, I will. And then Rey knocked him on his ass. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I know they've had matches afterwards. But so anyway, LA Knight takes a cheap shot at Rey Mysterio. The music is on, and Santos Escobar does defeat LA Knight. You know, basically, back and forth match, very even. They both traded pin attempts, but Santos Escobar was able to hold LA Knight down for a three. LA Knight loses no momentum right now. I know the better nights ahead has just started. And remember what I said a month ago. He will lose matches along the way. Remember when I said Cody Rhodes will lose matches along the way before he becomes undisputed WWE Universal Champion? And speaking of those titles, we talked about it last week. I got the picture lined up. Remember last week when I said, I won't be surprised if even though Roman comes out now with just the one championship, that Paul Heyman keeps both belts on his shoulders. That's what they did yesterday. I love it because you keep those titles around because when Cody ultimately wins, they're going to have to make a decision. You know, at some point, one of those titles has to be retired. And I think it's the Undisputed Championship because you're not going to take away the lineage of the WWE Championship. And the Universal Championship has only been around for, what, 7 years? Did I say Undisputed? I meant Universal Championship. Universal Championship has only been around for about 7 years. So you, to me, I feel you retire that championship, but how do you do it? How do you do it? I mean, do you do another Triple H announcement? Do you do an Adam Pearce announcement? You know, right now, Roman Reigns is continuing the lineage of both championships, and that's fine. But you got Seth Rollins with a World Heavyweight Championship as well. So one of those belts ultimately is going to be retired. And I have a feeling it's going to be the WWE Universal Championship. But anyway, they come out. Roman Reigns hits the ring. And it's him, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman. And he wants Lexington, Kentucky, acknowledge me. And before he could really say anything, Jey Uso hits the ring. And the fans are chanting Uso. Roman Reigns wants answers. And he says, Jey, are you in or are you out? And I'll be honest with you. When Jey said, you tell me, I literally went, oh, they're going to milk this another fucking week. No. You tell me. That hurt. But I was afraid that we were going to get, what I thought was going to happen was Jimmy Uso was going to hit the ring, and then we might have some errant on Jey towards Jimmy this time. And then this time around, Jay's like, you know, like, and you have Jey with this disgruntled look, and Roman will be laughing, and they go off the air. But no, we didn't get that. We didn't get that, and that was good. So, Jey Uso tells tells Roman Reigns, it's either Paul Heyman or it's me. And Roman kind of going into rock mode, if you know what I mean, because Roman is like, you know, when you become tribal chief, you could pick your wise man. He's my wise man. He's not your wise man. He's not Solo's wise man. He's not Jimmy's wise man. He's my wise man. Kind of felt like a little bit of a rock promo, if you know what I mean. He said that his job was to get everyone to the promised land. Jey has been groomed for 3 years. And Jey and Jimmy and Solo and Wise Man and other, everybody, their role was to keep everybody there. So the fans, I think, getting a little annoyed at everything, they start hitting Roman Reigns with the what chance. Roman not phased at all about it. He talks about Jey, and he says that you cannot be a twin and the tribal chief at the same time, because, you know, the whole thing is Jey Uso will be the next tribal chief. Jimmy comes out, and Jimmy walks down with a mic, and he says, Jimmy, the problem is not Jay's brother, you know, him, it's your cousin. And Jimmy is trying to, you know, get Jey's head straight. Jimmy says that Roman Reigns claiming that he's grooming Jey to be the next tribal chief, but the truth is that Roman is using Jey Uso. And Jimmy asks Jey Uso, do you believe what's coming out of Roman's mouth? Do you really believe that? And that's when Jey Uso gets pissed off. Roman Reigns takes the mic, and he says that there was only one person that was against Jey Uso being the next tribal chief. And it was Jimmy. He gives the mic to Paul Heyman because, you know, Jey thinks it was Paul Heyman that was against Jey. That's why. What they're trying to do is they're trying to cover up or give clarity to why would Jey Uso want Paul Heyman out of the bloodline so much. It's either him or it's me. Because Jey Uso believes that Paul Heyman had it in for him, doesn't want him to be in the position that he's in. Paul Heyman reveals that it was Jimmy all along. It was me, Jey. It was me all along. It was Jimmy. So Jimmy is looking like all guilty, and Jay looks at him and is like, is that true? And Jimmy says it's true. Jay, I'm telling you, man, give that guy, there's got to be some type of an award out there that's not named Observer or wrestling website, any wrestling website. That guy pacing back and forth, getting into Jimmy's face, and just acting, he fucking, he's got, I, you know, everybody says Roman is going to go into Hollywood. I honestly think Jey Uso might have a career in Hollywood. I don't want to see him in Hollywood, obviously. I'd rather see him in the ring. He just nailed it. Yeah, a little stutter yesterday when he said, you know, when we were younger, you were the crown, you know, the prom prince, the prom king, the player of the year, most likely to succeed. And Jay is pretty much trying to run down Jimmy. Like, you are always, you know, the older brothers, the only, always the one. And as I showed you earlier, Jey Uso makes his decision. Jey Uso looks at his brother and says to him, crowd fucking went nuts, man. It was good. It was good. Put a smile on my face, because there's times where something shouldn't be milked. This, they did it perfect yesterday. It was funny after the, and I had to show you the fan footage because we'll get hit with copyright here from WWE. You know, if I ask for permission, it'll be a week from now. So unfortunately, when I'm doing a show 13 hours after SmackDown, there's no time for permission. After SmackDown went off the air, the fans started chanting, you deserve it, you deserve it, and Roman selling it perfectly. So that was SmackDown yesterday. Overall, a decent show. You know, the matches were okay. I think the matches really were designed to set up something in the future. I don't think we're really going to be remembering any matches yesterday. If you really think about it, no match was like, I mean, the tag team gauntlet was good, but in a lot of ways it was very predictable. So so next week on SmackDown, we have the tag team unification match, tag team titles on the women's side, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler versus Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, Cameron Grimes versus Baron Corbin, and Shotzi versus Bayley for that last spot in Money in the Bank. We know how that's going to turn up. So, the following week, we have Asuka versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship. And then we have the tag team titles. Pretty Deadly versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So, good couple of weeks to look forward to. I mean, I think we're on track now. Tonight, AEW Collision debuts. The announced team, which we did not know Thursday when I did my hour discussion on it, we now find out that the commentary team for AEW Collision will be Kevin Kelly, Nigel McGuinness. Kevin Kelly is very interesting because he's been doing New Japan for quite some time. It's funny, we just had a conversation about Kevin Kelly on, I think, the last week's sit-down. Jim Ross will also be there, but they say that Jim Ross will be there for expert analysis. You know, does he sit in just for a main event? Maybe. Will he do sit-down interviews? Probably. But I would just announce Jim Ross, like expert analysis. You know what it gives? You know what vibe it gives me? And yeah, I'm revealing my age. How many of you remember towards the tail end of Gordon Solie doing commentating, when he would show up, when he would be part of WCW, and he was there more for like analysis, but he would just like in get involved a little bit, and you just felt the decline. And Jim Ross, yeah, I mean, he's not the Jim Ross of even 10 years ago, but just announce the team. Like, why make it seem that Jim Ross is going to be in a more limited role? We know what Jim Ross does and doesn't do, you know, but doing the expert analysis, it almost feels like they're going with the two-man duo. And honestly, I think one of the reasons why they have Kevin Kelly doing this right now is because we're probably going to see a lot of New Japan getting involved on Collision. We have Forbidden Door coming up. And again, it's going to be fascinating because I can't wait for news outlets to say that, oh, AEW is currently having meetings to address how do they handle Forbidden Door. CM Punk may not be part of Forbidden Door because the Elite will be involved in Forbidden Door. Blah, blah, blah. Or if at minimum that CM Punk, the Elite will be at the Hilton Hotel and CM Punk will be in a cabana somewhere. I just thought of that. Not cult. But, you know, they're going to do pay-per-views and everybody's going to be in the same building. Andrade's going to be in the same building with Sammy. What are they going to do? No, they're only allowed in the basement. They're going to treat him like Mike Awesome when he came back and defended the ECW championship against Taz after Mike Awesome went and signed with WCW. They're going to have to hire, who's that security guy from back in the day from WCW? They're going to have to hire him. They're going to have to hire Atlas Security. They're going to escort them from the basement into the ring, and then they have to leave from the crowd. Wouldn't that be something if they have them like entering from a, you have the heel side and you have the baby face side. Now you have the Collision side and you have the Dynamite side. So I think the announcing team, I think that's one of the reasons why they brought Kevin Kelly aboard. Because with all due respect, when somebody comes out there from New Japan, which, you know, will say, oh, it's some dumb fuck. He's the cousin from, I don't give a fuck. Because a lot of New Japan stars are not household names in the United States. Some people on social media make you think that they're the greatest, amazing, most unbelievable entertainers in the world. But yet only 40,000 Americans watch New Japan on a weekly basis. Go figure that. But I think Kevin Kelly, when somebody pops up and people, you know, I mean, you know, fans, they could take, I truly believe this. I know this sounds nuts, but when the lights go off and the lights come back on and there's a Japanese wrestler out there, I think some fans pop simply because they know that they have a surprise amongst them. They don't know exactly what that surprise is because the name hasn't put on the Titantron, but they know they have something there. So everybody turns on, surprise! It's a surprise. You don't know what the surprise is, but you know somebody's there. I honestly think if they took somebody from a Japanese establishment, somebody that looked like they were pretty in shape, and you put like a suit on them or something and turn the lights off and turn the lights on and they're on the rampway, I don't think you would get, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? I think people would be like, ah! And then, who that? Who's that? Who's that? And then some moron will be like, oh, that's Takeshi Kubutsugaba. And I guarantee everybody will be like, Takeshi, Takeshi, Takeshi. Yes, there's more than one Japanese person named Takeshi. I truly believe that. I know that sounds nuts. And anybody that is hardcore New Japan fans will turn around and hear this and say, well, what a fucking idiot. What if I? No, it's not. It's not. Because we went to indie shows and it would be surprised. It'd be a run-in. And people would pop. And then people would be like, who is that? You get the emotional reaction because you got a surprise, but you don't realize what the surprise is. It's almost like getting one of those mystery gifts. Like you open it up and you're like, oh shit, this is amazing. And then you look at it and you say it to yourself, the fuck is it? So let's start bringing the show home. We are at 75 minutes. I would like, before I show you the article and give you some comments, and by the way, I edited the article drastically to give you just the meat and potatoes. I want to make that clear. I also added some of my own photos to make it look a little bit better. And we're going to expose a few things. Samoa Joe. Bravo to Samoa Joe. He said it perfectly. Sports Illustrated interviewed Samoa Joe. And by the way, I thought this was so fucking cute. Go to wrestling news sites today. People actually reporting this as big news. Breaking news. Sports Illustrated reports that WWE may be turning Io Sky babyface. The fuck have we been watching on TV for the last 6 weeks? I swear to God, I actually saw breaking news on Io Sky. I'm like, what happened? Sports Illustrated reports that WWE may be turning him babyface. That's news, everybody. All right. Samoa Joe was interviewed by the same Sports Illustrated. Luckily, it wasn't Justin Barrasso with that dumb shit about Io Sky because, you know, breaking news, everyone, it's going to rain sometime this month. He asked Samoa Joe about the CM Punk Elite stuff. CM Punk said, and I quote, "This isn't a divide. It's an argument between men. All those dudes don't represent the entire genre of their generation. They have their own issues and their own problems. And I don't think it's that deep. They're grown-ass men. They have disagreements. They could figure it out or not. That's between them." Samoa Joe is old school. This is not as big of a deal as you think it is. It's like you see some of these honestly, I think, and I'm blocked from CM Punk. I've had my share of saying critical shit about him. I honestly think the more you read about the Young Bucks, the more you read about Hangman Page, and I have a feeling it's not so much Kenny Omega, believe it or not, but the Young Bucks, and they're not alone. You got your Brandon Cutlers and you got your others. The more I, you know, put the wrestling stuff aside and their hard work, which is definitely acknowledged, they work their asses off in front of the camera behind the scenes. I'm not going to dispute that. I think these are fucking, these are Karens with testicles. These are male Karens that if you step on a Karen's shoe, my fucking dirt on my shoe, look, my fucking sandal. Like, everything is blown into, like, oh, my fucking God. And the worst part is, I didn't even realize this. Maybe shame on me for not knowing. The Young Bucks have Barry fucking Bloom as their agent. Barry Bloom. ESPN asked the Young Bucks to be part of this interview, discussion. They declined. ESPN asked Tony Khan. Now, Tony Khan, you see online, he's on a lot of places. They asked Tony Khan to comment a little bit about, and Tony Khan declined. They contacted Colt fucking Cabana, which I used to love. I fucking enjoyed his podcast. I actually took his side over CM Punk at that time. That motherfucker, I shouldn't talk because I'm heavy too. He's like a fat Karen with testicles. ESPN contacts him to talk about this, his side of it, comment. And he has the nerve to say, oh, contact AEW. Contact AEW is run by Tony Khan, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, and ask them for clearance. They did not. Colt Cabana cannot just talk. Again, this is something that this is why I'm really kind of angry at this. I'm not angry because I wasn't involved with the fight. I don't give a shit. I worry about my own life. But I'm annoyed that so many of you out there, and me, and a few others, were right the entire time. And people, I think, intentionally ignored the truth because it was sexier to talk about the controversy. I said 9 months ago, Colt Cabana does a fucking pot, and maybe that's why he won't update my Pro Wrestling Tee store. I've had so many people ask me, hey, can you put DTKC shirts back in the store? I've updated that store 6 times in the last 2 months. And I've sent messages to Pro Wrestling Tees. Hey, man, I need a couple of shirts, but it's not a lot. And I've never got a response. A bafangul. I said this 9 months ago about Colt Cabana. This motherfucker has done podcasts about water. He does talks about anything. He talks and he talks and he talks and he talks. When that shit came out that Nick Houseman decided to blow up in a media call and everybody else, and for 9 months, all that time, everybody thinks that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana out. If that was not true, why didn't Colt Cabana ever once go on his podcast and say, hey man, listen, I know CM Punk and I don't talk. Remember, this is before any media scrum fight. He could, even months before that, he could have said, hey man, I know me and CM Punk, we don't talk and everything, but look, you know, I want to put that out there that there's no truth to the rumor that CM Punk forced me out of AEW. I'm still here. I'm still doing my stuff. And we're all trying to make AEW be the best company it could be. Cocksucker couldn't even say that. That pisses me off because when you think about it, you know, these people put their tail between their legs and are petrified. That's why when you heard, oh, there's an ongoing outside investigation, we can't comment about it. That was a pussy move to avoid this. A little fight that would have, if you would have did the top 50 fights in wrestling history, the top 50 backstage altercations, I don't even think this would have been in the top 30. Somebody got bit. Somebody got a little shiner. Unfortunately, a dog got hurt. It might have been around 30 or 40, and people have been, it wouldn't have even stood out. But they turned this for a year with lawyers. And yes, lawyers, because Tony Khan, you know, hasn't had something like this happen. He didn't deal with an indie guy. Then you give him $200, give him a robe. You know, he's all elite, makes him feel like $1 million, and a fight happens. He's dealing with a millionaire, multimillionaire professional business person in CM Punk. And then you find out the Young Bucks who have Barry Bloom. And then you realize, now you're saying to yourself, okay, well, Colt Cabana's got AEW, but everybody else has got these high-priced bigwigs. So Tony Khan has to get an outside lawyer. How do I straighten this shit out? Because I got to worry about lawsuits. I got to worry about this. The Young Bucks are little fucking Karens with testicles, and they might sue the world because of it. How dare you put your finger on me? How dare? Again, because of the ESPN article, this guy, an hour after the article comes out, has to tell the world, not only is he good at wrestling, but he's an even better human being. CM Punk did not say anything to make anybody feel that Hangman Page wasn't a good human being. But when you have to reiterate that and emphasize that, this is, it's the difference here is that that guy went on his own Instagram to say that. And for the year before that, they went to a journalist and have the journalist say it. Like I said, they're great wrestlers, probably could kick my ass. But honestly, on the streets, they come across as a fucking bunch of pussies, a bunch of Karens. And that's how it comes across to me. And I'm sorry it's going to upset some people. There's some hardcore Young Bucks fans, and I totally respect that. I'm not going to not watch the show. I'm going to still put money. But understand, you're dealing with a bunch of babies. You're dealing with a bunch of immature prima donnas. You're dealing with a bunch of snowflakes. This is what they are. Just because a snowflake could wrestle doesn't mean they're not a snowflake. Just like just because someone's a great actor doesn't mean that they're not a racist. Just because somebody could hit a ball doesn't mean that they're not a woman abuser. Just because someone donates to ASPCA doesn't mean that they don't hurt animals. Just because these guys could wrestle and just because these guys work so hard behind the scenes doesn't make them non-snowflake. These are snowflakes. These are babies. These are people who are not strong or street mark. You decide, I'm going to step on a bunch of thumbtacks. I'm going to step on a bunch of thumbtacks. Everybody forgot about the thumbtacks in the Anarchy in the Arena 30 minutes later. But what do they got to do? They got to put slow-mos. They got to post online to show everybody how tough they are. I truly think the reason why Hangman Page walks around with beers and certain things and certain that is because it's to cover up. He's a fragile, you know, soft person, you know, with a sippy cup in his hand. What a crazy straw. And honestly, yeah, there's a lot about this world that sucks. There's a lot of people that I know that have mental health issues. I have my days. I have my spurts. Absolutely, we all do. But when you get knocked down, you get your ass up. You don't fucking start painting a picture, you know, that you're this and you're that and you're this. That's not how you pick yourself up. You're knocking someone else down. So you appear to be picked up. It makes you feel good. Every time something negative came out about Miro or early on with Thunder Rosa, oh, do you see how some of her women are being treated because of the way she's there? And then you see about Andrade, and then you see a lot about the CM Punk, and you see it. Every time something comes out, you got one of these journalists that are anti-punk more than anything else, they put something out there. And 99% of the places out there either cut and paste it or they just keep their mouth shut because they want to be part of the cake and ice cream crew. They want to feel like they are clicked. They want to feel like they're part of an audience. You see people out there that keep taking fake news and bullshit. Look at something and say, that's nonsense. I'm going to wait for the CM Punk interview to come out. Oh, I heard that. It's really, look at the way, it's really awful, and it's one of those days, and AEW's in damage control. Instead of saying, you know, I don't believe this cocksucker. I don't believe Wade Keller. I don't buy his shit. When he goes out there and says, I've talked to people within AEW that says that they will walk out if CM Punk returns. What about the people that won't walk out? What about the people that do care about the guy? Because you want to push this agenda that CM Punk is so bad that people want to quit over it because to push the anti-punk agenda. And wrestling fans see that. News sites recopy and paste that. And it is so one-sided. And the day before this article came out, damage control, and instead of people saying, you know what? I don't believe this guy's agenda. All right? He does report accurate stuff a lot, but he's got an agenda. Let me wait for the article to come out before I judge it. No, people run with it because it's hits, it's views, it's money. So now, here's your article. And I'm sorry if it looks a little distorted, but I wanted to put the print big enough, especially for anybody who is going to be watching this through their cell phones. So I'm going to read you some of the quotes from there. And like I said, I eliminated a lot of the filler, to put it bluntly. But again, I want to point out what Mark Raimondi didn't do. He ignored the media aspect of it. Don't believe me? All right, here we go. CM Punk, quote, I know pro wrestling is absolutely the most bizarre form of entertainment on earth, but to me, I treat it like a business. I treat it like the television show that it is. So, y'all haven't seen me since I won the belt. I'm coming back. Tune in to find out exactly what I have to say. I'm picking up right where I left off. I think in wrestling, we always kind of joke on how we always get hurt during the dumb stuff. Fall off a 15-foot ladder through a table and you're fine. Run 6 miles the next day, you're in the gym. And it's always the dumb little things. And he was talking about how we learn later on he broke his foot from diving into the crowd. All right, so he talks about his rehab. So now here's where it gets important. All right, in Punk's mind, the division started sometime in spring of 2022. Previously, he said he felt as if he had a solid relationship with the group, including approaching Kenny Omega to ensure that nothing that CM Punk was doing in his matches would infringe on what spots Kenny Omega was doing. And he also checked on Hangman Page when Hangman Page was sick with COVID-19. On the May 25th, 2022 episode, Punk and Page were booked for a promo segment in the ring. Page was the AEW champion. And Punk said that they discussed backstage before the segment what they would say, much as Punk said he did for similar segments in the past with other wrestlers such as MJF, Eddie Kingston, and others. But when they got in the ring, according to CM Punk, Hangman Page strayed from what they agreed to, and Hangman Page said this, and I quote, "You talk a big game about workers' rights. Well, you've shown the exact opposite since you got here. I love this place. I care about this place. This is my home. And this Sunday at Double or Nothing, I will not be defending this title against you. No, for the first time in my life, I'll be defending All Elite Wrestling from you." And again, off topic, friends, you know, we were all confused at the time. Now we know the Colt Cabana stuff because the ESPN article, Mark writes, and I quote, "According to Punk, Page told him that he said what he said because Punk had AEW wrestler and coach Colt Cabana fired from the company, or at least tried to. Punk and Cabana had a big falling out years ago before Punk arrived in AEW that include multiple lawsuits. Punk said he told Hangman Page that was not true, and Colt Cabana still worked for the company. Punk told ESPN that he has no relationship with Cabana, but he never asked Khan to take Cabana or anyone else's job. But others in the company, including the Elite, believe Punk did that per sources." Okay? Per sources, everyone. So you look back at the last year and you look back at everything. Now you understand who within AEW was feeding this shit online and who pushed it. Punk, early on, there's no, listen, Punk, I know what some people are going to say. CM Punk, way back early last year, should have went online and cleared that rumor up. But even though he denies it, nobody within AEW believed it. So instead of Tony Khan stepping up or Colt Cabana stepping up and saying, "Look, guys, I know everybody believed, but look, you know, I'm still here and it's not true. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. We all got to do better for everybody." Keep silent. No, you don't have the right to remain silent. Everything you didn't say did hurt that company. And that is a fact. And what I'm saying is not popular, and I don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. Nick of ESPN writes, "Tony Khan and Hangman Page were unavailable to comment for this article, according to AEW. When reached for comment via email, Colt Cabana said ESPN should go through AEW for everything. Kenny Omega and the Jacksons, the Young Bucks, declined to comment via their agent, Larry Boom. Page's comments during the segment, a shoot in wrestling terms, mean it was not planned in the show." Okay, more CM Punk quotes. Quote, "And I proceed to have what I think is a garbage match because I'm trying to protect myself on stuff instead of actually working and try to put on the best performance I can. I'm keeping an eye out. He chopped me in the mouth one time and I'm like, okay, did that just happen on purpose? You chipped my tooth and I'm like, all right, should I give him a receipt? It changes the dynamic. It poisoned everything for me and it made it all really, really ugly. And that's what set all this off. And here we are over a year later and ain't shit been done about it." So now if you look at this. This is what Mark Raimondi at ESPN writes. 3 days after Double or Nothing, Punk broke his foot during a live crowd dive during his entrance. Punk called out Page during a segment in the ring August 18th without anyone knowing he would do it. Things escalated after Punk beat Moxley at All Out September 4th. Punk, known for being outspoken, going back to his days in WWE and beyond, ripped into Paige in a post-event news conference and accused Omega and the Jacksons of spreading lies and bullshit about him in the wrestling media. He said Omega and the Jacksons, all executive vice presidents in AEW, couldn't fucking manage a target. He also took aim at Cabana. My friends, notice how he doesn't address all the media that wrote and continued all the fake news and all of the anti-punk hype, which was built. You know, remember, you know, he makes it sound like that, oh, the elite, you know, kept disparaging him and spreading lies and bullshit in the wrestling media. But if you read this article, the media gets no responsibility for it. What are we supposed to believe based on this guy from ESPN, that the wrestling media were duped? Do you believe that everybody that's been anti-punk were duped? Do you feel you were duped? Nobody was duped. Because Dave Shear, Mike Johnson, a lot of you, me, and a few others, for the whole year, we smelled this shit. Duped. Again, that's where this guy at ESPN fucks up. Because he's a journalist, he's got to stick up for his fellow journalists and make it seem like it was all, you know, the wrestlers that caused the issues, not the media. The media fucking turned it into a snowball. The fuck is this guy talking about? Oh, actually, what he's not talking about. So anyway, Punk says that he regrets about what transpired in the media scrum and has since apologized to Tony Khan. He said, and Khan's relationship is now great. Quote, the first thing I said to Tony when I sat down with him and spoke to him after it was, man, I'm really sorry I put you in that position. I apologize for the scrum. But when you watch the scrum, you're looking at a very, very frustrated guy who had told people that's not the first time he heard all that. It's not the first time lawyers were told all that. And I was just looking for something to be done and nothing got done. So if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And I just didn't approach it in the right manner, but tension was high. I was very, very pissed. I pretty much knew that I had injured myself again. I was hurt and I was disappointed. Yeah, it's very easy for me to say I regret and I handled it the wrong way 100%. AEW launched a third-party investigation with a law firm into the matter, which has since been completed. Again, it was about the legal ease, my friends, what we said last year. Had nothing to do with the investigation of what happened. The investigation was, how do we resolve it? Anyway, Punk says that he doesn't like saying no comment, but that we're trying to move past what happened that night specifically. My friends, what I'm about to read is probably the most important aspect of all of this here. Punk says, and I quote, I don't think what happened was a big deal. This has happened in the last 10 months in hockey, basketball, baseball, just in almost every sport. And it's covered, and it's gone the next day. I think because I have injured my tricep and I've been out so long, I think it's been exasperated. I think it's been exasperated by people spreading lies about the whole thing, and when in reality my attitude is, well, shit happens. Punk says he has not had any conversations with Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks since the incident, although he has tried. He said when he reached out, he has gotten message from lawyers saying, do not contact this person. Punk says he is unclear whether those responses came at the legal representatives of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks or a third party. Still doesn't know to this day, everyone. And Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, and Kenny Omega take note that even through their agents or lawyers, they never seeked out to talk to CM Punk either, everybody, even though CM Punk wanted. Again, these are pussies that don't want the issue to be resolved. They won't talk to the guy. They won't even look at the guy. Anyway, just to wrap this up, CM Punk says, now we all got to roll into this fucking mud, and that should have never happened and has never been course corrected. So I understand people want to say that, oh, man, Punk is a dick. Well, yeah, because I'm defending myself, and I will always defend myself. I'm open to have a full-blown fucking sit-down powwow discussion with everybody about it, but it hasn't yet happened yet, and it's not because of my lack of trying. Nick Raimondi from ESPN also says, and let this sink in about Wembley. Let's see if things change. CM Punk says, Punk, though, said that he had been told that using this saga on TV and spinning it into matches that would undoubtedly draw money won't happen. It won't happen. Let that sink in. When you hear the rumors of Jericho versus Punk, everyone, at Wembley, start putting a little bit of merit behind that. Because the idea of FTR and Punk versus the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, I mean, unless there's some resolution very, very soon based on this, and we'll address what the media tried to pull yesterday. Now he talks about Collision, and he brings up Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs especially. Quote, with more TV time, you're not only going to see guys like Hobbs and Starks, people who I think have the potential to do what MJF has done with his TV time, but they haven't been able to be positioned because a guy like MJF gets a big lion's share of the TV time. We just need to do a better job of spotlighting so many different guys, and this, for a lot of guys, is sink or swim. Now it's just like, now's the time. You're going to have to really bust your ass and prove why we're giving you this spotlight and this TV time. If I'm the poster boy, top guy, whatever, this is what people dream about. You get put in a position like this and you can't take the negative criticism. Personally, I look at it as a challenge. But as far as ticket sales for Saturday night, compare and contrast, I think it's a lot easier to move a Saturday night ticket to a live event than it is on a workday or on a Wednesday. So there's positive and negatives, and I don't look at the negatives as these huge detrimental things. Finally, CM Punk says that he never considered not returning. Quote, I certainly had some low moments, and I won't rule out in those fleeting moments where I just said, fuck it, whatever. I don't think ever there was a serious intention to say that I'm done. There's still work to do. And I think I'm excited about a lot of stuff that's coming up. So to just throw the baby out with the bathwater just because of a little boo-boo, I think it would be a little silly. I won't know what I'm going to do or say until I have that microphone in my hand, meaning Collision. I have a lot of things to get off my chest. Oop, sorry. Let's go back here. That's my computer thing. Hold on. Here we go. There we go. All right. So, in hindsight of all of this, what I take from this is, you know, it's an unfortunate incident what happened. But through the media, people within AEW have been firing darts, taking shots, and doing everything they can to diminish some of these people. And the people behind the scenes in AEW that are doing it are people with power. And for the last year, this has been going on. Now, because it's been exposed, you know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of explaining to do. There's a lot of people out there that profited big time, you know, over other people's shit. But what really got me yesterday, okay, was this. I'm not going to say which paid news outlet posted this. It wasn't Fightful, because Fightful's been fair with all of this. And PW Insider has been fair with this as well. But what came out yesterday was this. This is right, you know, before. AEW was hoping that the comments CM Punk made about Hangman Page would not be part of the ESPN article, and that the talent is largely aware of Punk's comments. This is largely because AEW is actively trying to sign Hangman Page to a new long-term deal. There was an attempt at damage control going on at press time, but much of the talent was aware of what Punk originally said. Okay. If you go around the net, people are trying to diminish this article by saying that CM Punk, this is a work shoot. Okay. If it is a work shoot, all those paid outlets that are reporting that are lying to their customers. They're trying to work their customers. Why would you put out there that AEW, up until the 12 o'clock hour, was trying to get the Hangman Page stuff removed if you know it's a work shoot? Why would you report that? So either it comes down to two things. Either CM Punk was telling the truth and AEW tried to hide it, or some of the people within the company tried to hide it, or these paid sites are trying to work their paying customers. I think in all reality, I think a lot of these sites are trying to retain as many people as they can because people are starting to fade. People are getting tired of being lied to. People are getting tired of being pushed a certain agenda. And again, I think Tony Khan, I think this is a come to Jesus moment for Tony Khan. That's a phrase. That's not a religious thing. I think it's a moment where I think he takes a step back and says, you know what? This person, this person, this person, this person, this person, even if they thought they had good intentions, fucked up my company, fucked up CM Punk's worth, fuck this up, fuck that up, fuck this up. You know, they keep trying to throw monkey wrenches and stuff. But again, it's all led by certain people within AEW. And as long as Tony Khan does not address those people, and he might be forced to keep his mouth shut, because without those people, how does AEW run? Can't simply go on monster.com and fill their roles. So this is the deal. One thing I will say that I found very, very interesting. Nowhere was FTR mentioned. Nothing. Not even the hype for Collision, FTR wasn't mentioned. I'm kind of surprised by that, because that is perceived as the number one tag team outside of the Usos in the wrestling world. And now they have the opportunity to really maybe break out on Saturdays, and there's no mention at all. Is it because they're the close friends of CM Punk? No idea. But yeah, this is a mess. This is a mess. And again, I will say this one last time before we go. Hangman Page, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, very, very talented. Entertaining, definitely earned everything that they have had and receive. I don't necessarily put Kenny Omega so much into this, because Kenny Omega has made some public comments, and word going around is Kenny Omega is, you know, wants this to subside, you know, more than anything else. And you don't hear Kenny Omega's name pop up as much when shit gets leaked out to put somebody else down. It's sometimes the opposite. When something needs to be cleared up, you always hear that Kenny Omega, you know, got his, you know, news minions to clear it up. But as far as the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, it just gives you an idea of the position and how powerful they are within that company. And understand this, they're not alone. They have a lot of their friends working for the company. They have this whole big clique in that company. That's why, as much as CM Punk, you know, was wrong for doing it the way he did, I had said it a year ago, I'll say it again now, he is truly the voice of the voiceless, because there's a lot of people within AEW that are very, very frustrated and, you know, can't speak out because this is their paycheck. This is their livelihood. They'll never get this opportunity in WWE. They would get 1/10 of this opportunity on the indie circuit. A lot of people just don't want to head up and go to Japan or Puerto Rico or Mexico. So a lot of these people that are getting overpaid and getting positioned and getting spots on TV that they don't deserve, they're forced to keep quiet. CM Punk doing what he did a year ago when people like people in AEW are outraged at what CM Punk said. Well, guess what? There were people in AEW that loved what CM Punk did. That's why if you're going to Wade and others, if you're going to push one side of the coin, push the other. And they don't. And this is why CM Punk blew up in the media scrum. And this is why you have this ESPN article. If shit would have been resolved, there would have been public apologies on everybody's part. 9 months ago, this would have been dead in the water, buried. And then you move on, and you, even if they don't work with each other, you move on. But no, to this day, there are people in AEW that will not talk, that will not resolve things, that won't even make a comment on it, and continue through the media to shoot down what they dislike. And that's why I put for the title of this thumbnail, Cowboy Shithead. It's a shithead. Talented guy? Shithead. It's a shithead. Definitely lost a lot of, you know, my appreciation for him. But I'll still watch him wrestle because I don't watch wrestling because somebody's a good guy or somebody goes to church or somebody is an asshole or somebody is this. I watch it because I'm entertained. I don't give a fuck. When I go to a movie, I don't give a fuck if somebody is like the worst neighbor in the world or is this butthurt, snowflake little pussy bitch. No, I watch the movie because I like the movie. I think some people out there get way too intertwined with people's personalities and their stuff in real life. And nah, I don't give a shit. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. Hope everybody enjoyed this. Did we get any super shout outs for today? We did get one. Oh, this is good for a preview for Monday. Who sent this? Let me give it thanks to him. Thank you, Antoine, for the two-spot. Trish Stratus versus Raquel Rodriguez was announced for Monday's Money in the Bank. Okay. So that actually will resolve. Well, it sort of resolves Bayley versus Shotzi. I think now I fear. Wait. So if Raquel wins, because I don't see Trish in Money in the Bank, if Raquel wins, then you got to put Shotzi in there. I get it. And then Bayley will still be there for Io, but won't be in a match. And maybe Bayley climbs the ladder or tries to help Io climb the ladder and fucks up. Or maybe Bayley tips the ladder over intentionally and ruins Io Sky's chance of winning. Yeah, I kind of see where this is going. That could be. We will know in 2 weeks. Well, we'll know as far as a week from now if Shotzi is in, if Bayley is in, if Raquel is in. So, and thank you for the 5-spot, Mr. El Guero, 316 El Guero. What does El Guero mean? Don't tell me. I want to Google it later. So, all right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. I hope everybody enjoys the weekend. If you're around Sunday night, hey, you have any follow-up questions of what we talked about today, if you have a comment you want me to share with the world as far as what we just discussed, tune in tomorrow, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, live. I'll be here. Hopefully you are as well, and we'll talk about it. So, thanks, guys. Much love as always, and I'm out of here. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.